Thank you for joining us today for another sermon podcast from Flushing Community Church. We desire to experience the transforming love of God and share it with others. It's our hope that you will find today's recording encouraging for your personal journey of faith. Let's join Pastor Terry Bate as he shares another message from God's Word.
We want to welcome you to our second Sunday of this series called From the Grave. This is our series that we're using to kind of launch into our season of Lent. And I told you that my prayer last week, is for this next month or so, is that God would reveal himself to me in fresh and real ways, just like the first time. I use that analogy that sometimes when you don't get your eyes checked off and you don't realize how poorly you can see, and sometimes you need a new script to be able to see things clearly. And I'm hoping that God would give me a new script, a new ability to see him working among in my life and among my family in new ways. We're using for this series a book by A.W. Tozer, From the Grave, by the same title. If you did not grab one of these last week, I'm sorry, we sold out. Mike said we had lots, and you took him up on his word on that, and so we sold out. But there is a new Christian bookstore on Miller Road. Forgotten the name of it, but it's Faith Christian. Yep. They've got them, according to their website, so you can say they're more money than what we were selling them for, but we encourage you to grab one if you haven't yet and follow along with us. If you've got a bulletin, you have an insert, and hopefully you have a place to take some notes. I encourage you every time I speak, God wants to say something directly to you that I cannot say, things that I don't even know that are going on in your life, but the Holy Spirit wants to reveal things to you, and so a little piece of paper in front of you can help. Listen for the Holy Spirit. Write those things down. If you like to do things digitally, you can pull out your smartphone. We're just a few weeks away from having Wi-Fi in the building. But for right now, you got to use your own data. Open up the YouVersion app, and there's an event in that. Then again, instructions are in your bulletin on how to use that. But all of our scriptures, and we're going to have many of them today, are already queued up and ready for you in that app if you open up the event. So, a lot of things going on. We mentioned last week Lent is this special time of the year where people tend to fast from things. Well, we'll often kind of prepare ourselves by fasting on a particular day, maybe a day of the week, or a couple of special days within the season of Lent. Sometimes people will fast by, you know, a particular food item that they will stay away from throughout the month. I mentioned last week that I was staying away and fasting from liver and onions. Now, I don't want you to think I don't take this seriously, so this week I decided to fast from exercise. I mean, I'm all in on the idea of giving things up. And I've been so far so good on that whole idea. Some of us abstain from things like Facebook or various social media things, and that's fine. Whatever you find to kind of help you prepare and to put your mind on Christ, that's great. But remember, the goal is not to fast to try to change God's mind. Our goal in Lent and the idea of preparing ourselves is that we practice being in the presence of God every day. And that by changing our routine, we are reminded that God is with us. So remember that as you go through whatever you've decided to give up or to add into your life this Lenten season. Last week we talked about suffering and the cross of Christ, and today we're going to transition a little bit. It's a slight transition from suffering into perseverance and what it means to be people who don't give up, people of perseverance who continually strive for the things of God. You know, in our world history, there are some great examples of people who had to persevere a lot. Here are a couple of that kind of came to my mind that I thought were essential for us to think about. President Abraham Lincoln. We remember him today as a powerful president, one of the best potentially, but you got to remember all of the different failed businesses that man attempted. They were numerous. He lost 8 or 9 elections before being elected president. Probably would not be electable today because he's not all that attractive, and we like to elect attractive people sometimes, maybe not today. But the television has changed a lot of things, right? And because of his history of having lost businesses and lost elections, he might not be all that electable today, but a fantastic president of his day. I thought about Thomas Edison and the amount of failures that he experienced before inventing the light bulb. There's no definite number that I could find, but somewhere between 3 and 10,000 failures before he figured out how to make this thing glow. I thought about it in our more modern time, Bethany Hamilton, a young lady who was a nearly a professional surfer, who lost an arm in a shark attack and did not let that slow her down. In fact, her ability and her voice has only gotten larger because of her faith and determination to persevere and to continue to meet her goals. I thought of a young man named Nick Boyacek, who's born in Australia with no arms and no legs. If you're not familiar with this story, it's a powerful story. He refused to allow this condition to keep him down. Now, he went through years of depression and struggle, but the reality is he's an inspiration to millions around the world as he continues to share God's love. Scripture points to so many acts of perseverance that it's kind of silly. But even in the Gospels or even in the Epistles and in Paul's writings, there's a clear indication that we are to persevere through struggle. Romans chapter 5 says, "We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love." Paul's clear in saying, we can rejoice in troubles. Paul's writing to the church in Thessalonica. He was worried about them because they were enduring so much. So he sent young Timothy to them, and he wrote this in his first letter. "We sent him, Timothy, to strengthen you, to encourage you in your faith, and to keep you from being shaken by the troubles that you were going through. But you know that we are destined for such troubles. Even while we were with you, we warned you that troubles would soon come, and they did, as you well know." And when Timothy was there, he found that that church was strong, and they were deliberate, and they were persevering. So in his second letter to that same church, he says, "We proudly tell God's other churches about your endurance and faithfulness and all the persecutions and hardships that you are suffering." And to that same Timothy that he sent to Thessalonica, he wrote a letter that said, "But you, Timothy, are a man of God, so run from all these evil things. Pursue righteousness and a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, to which you have declared so well before many witnesses." Paul continuously reminds us that this is not an easy life. And we talked about suffering last Sunday, but he's calling us to persevere. Sometimes I think we get in our mind that we persevere for so long, things will suddenly get easier. That if I just fight the good fight for a certain amount of time, that suddenly things will right themselves in my life, and things should get better. Paul never really speaks of that. He says that we are to be people who constantly push into the struggles and hardships of following after Christ. And that in that perseverance, we will discover something pretty powerful. We will discover a fruit, a sweet fruit, an outcome that we could never have found had we not determined ourselves to persevere. We like to, too often I think we get to a place where we see that the cost of following Christ is insurmountable. We think about that cost, and we think that God would never want us to suffer like this. And so we decide that we justify actually in our own minds that we should probably take a road that does not honor God in some ways because we want to avoid something that would be more painful. God would never want us to feel such pain, so therefore I must choose this path instead. That's not how we read Scripture. We read Scripture that we are to persevere through struggle, and in the end, we will reap a harvest of sweet fruit in our life. So I want to ask you a question today. What has your persevering love of God and your commitment to love your neighbor cost you? What has living this life of following after Christ cost you? Have you stood on the threshold of a decision and thought to yourself, this way is right and this way is wrong? This way is really hard, but this way is a little bit easier. Have you thought about this way honors God, but this way makes fewer waves? I think we've all been on thresholds of decisions like that. I was actually talking to a friend of mine this week who works in accounting and numbers, and he discovered an error in his company's paperwork. It was an honest mistake. It was clearly just an honest mistake, but it would result in a payment to another company of over $800,000. And there was no way that this other company would catch that mistake. The only way that this mistake would be caught was because of his job, his role in the company. And so he went to his boss and he said, I've discovered something. They clarified and it was absolutely right. But the boss ordered him, you say nothing about this to anyone. He made a discovery of an nearly $800,000 mistake that no one would know the difference except himself. After weeks of contemplating what to do and getting wise counsel, he made a decision to tell the other company that what was involved and the mistake that was honest and wanted to make that right. And for the next 2 years, every day went into the office fearing that it would be his last. The climate in the office became one of, you owe me for that one. You owe me for making that call. You went around me to make that decision. But the reality was, integrity was on the line, right? His honesty and his integrity and his ability to follow after Christ who calls us to that life was on the line. So he could sleep well at night, but he wasn't sure he was going to have a job in the morning for quite some time. That moved me. That challenged me. Would I make that same decision or would I say, God, I think you tell me to honor my bosses, so I will do this? You know, we could kind of go either way on this, but I've really appreciated the integrity in which they shared that dilemma. I want to ask a question a little bit differently, and I asked it on Facebook late Friday night, early Saturday morning. What inconsistencies have you noticed among, and I put it in quotations, Christians? Because we label ourselves that sometimes, and maybe we ought not. But what inconsistencies have you noticed, have you witnessed among those who call themselves Christians? Here are some of the responses. When people, and I include myself in this, according to the person who wrote this, say that they want to serve the least of these, yet they want to pick and choose what that looks like. We make great claims about love, power, goodness, faithfulness of God, etc., yet many still live in fear. That's an inconsistency. Sundays, we all look the right way and say the right things, but Monday through Saturday might be a different story. That's an inconsistency. Jesus stated that the world would know that we are His disciples by how we love one another, and yet the Christian community can't seem to get united in loving one another. You name it, we argue it. Not to mention our love for our enemies. That can be an inconsistency. Several commented on the challenge of offering forgiveness to others, and some even commented on how difficult it is not to judge one another as well. Some great comments about the inconsistencies that we see when those who want to label themselves Christian, and then how they behave. It's obvious to me that Christians today are struggling with reading what God's Word says and applying it to their life, even though it's difficult, even though it's unpopular, even though it's uncomfortable. Because instead of persevering through the truth of the gospel, we would rather not be inconvenienced by taming our tongue. We would rather not be inconvenienced by loving our enemies. We would rather not be inconvenienced by serving our neighbor. We would rather not be inconvenienienced by defending justice in this world. We would rather not be inconvenienced by bringing in the offering into the storehouse of the church. And yes, I just went there. We would rather not be inconvenienced by what Scripture clearly calls us to do. We would rather find the loophole at all costs. And I went to giving because giving is not convenient. It is not convenient. But the path to salvation often runs through the grip we have on our pocketbook. There's a total difference of saying through our pocketbook. Because you can't buy your way in. But the grip you have on your possessions is a pathway to salvation. And God calls us to have a loose grip and a generous grip. That's why we have a wall of boxes back there. That's one example. Right? Tozer in his book said something that I thought was very, very cutting into my spirit. He says, it appears that too many Christians want to enjoy the thrill of feeling right but are not willing to endure the inconvenience of being right. I think you need to let that just settle in just for a minute. We are too comfortable as believers and followers of Christ wanting to feel right, but we're often not willing to endure the inconvenience of actually standing on principles and being right. So what does Scripture say about true followers of Jesus and how to persevere and refine our faith? Well, I went to Philippians 3 for this. Actually, the book of Philippians is a powerful book on this whole idea because Paul wrote this book in a prison cell. He was in jail in Rome. He could have complained. He could have written letters, get me out of here. He could have said anything. But if you read the book of Philippians, you would have no idea that he's writing this from a jail cell because he is constantly talking about the joy of the Lord while he's in chains for nothing more than talking about Jesus. That's why he finds himself there. So in the third chapter, he's talking about all the different things that he endures, all the different things that he thought was important, and none of it matters. And so he says in verse 12, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Perseverance of the faith involves giving my best, not giving in to the status quo. Perseverance of the faith implies that I live for today and tomorrow, and I let go and grow from yesterday. Perseverance of the faith demands that I listen to the voice of God, the voice of Christ, and His Holy Spirit, which is calling me onward, applying the law of love to every undeserving friend, every undeserving acquaintance that I come along and come in contact with along the way. This is what we are called to do, to persevere, offer love, to extend grace and mercy to all. Because the reality is none of us sit here today perfect. And there is certainly not one of us who are standing at this moment who are perfect. The reality is we are called to love one another and persevere in that love. Even when it's inconvenience in our life, even when it's going to take us down a few notches, we are challenged and called to persevere, giving our very, very best at all times. I thought about this and wanted to find a creative element. And I'm going to show a four-minute clip of a movie, Facing the Giants. We've seen this before. If you've been around, I could find nothing better than this. Let's watch this together. Morning, cried every time, was to hear the coach of that scene take the place of God in our life. Where we're saying, we got nothing left, we've got nothing left. He's getting closer to us and getting in our face and saying, don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. The call of perseverance in the Christian faith is not one that says, man, things should go easy for you. The call of perseverance is to say, do what is right and give your very best effort to honor Christ in all that you do. And I don't know what that's going to look like in every one of your areas. It's impossible for me to understand what that looks like for every one of you. But that's the beautiful thing of the Holy Spirit, who wants to do great work in you, who wants to challenge you to not quit, to not give up, and to not live a life that's just mediocre. In fact, Tozer's quote that cut me the most this past week said this: refuse to be average or to surrender to the chill of your spiritual environment. This cut me because to me, I recognize that the spiritual environment of our day and age is pretty cold. It's pretty lethargic. The spiritual environment that the church is functioning in today is one that says, keep it easy. Keep the message broad. But the message of the gospel is a narrow way. It is a challenging way. And so I say, don't give in to this idea of being average. Do not compare yourself to how others are living. If you spend time saying, my Christian faith looks better than Nancy's or Jill's or Bob's or Johnny's. Nobody's attached to any of those names, by the way. If I just sit there and try to compare myself, you will start to feel good about how you're connecting with Christ. But I believe there's one standard by which we are to connect ourselves with, one standard by which we are to evaluate ourselves, and that is the standard of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And until we become like Him, we have more work to do. That's why when I read the words of Paul, who says, I haven't obtained this, I'm thinking, Paul is one that has obtained more than most human beings ever will in terms of being Christ-like. And he's saying, I've got more to do. I've got more to do. I've got more to do. So if Paul is telling me this, what does Terry need? A whole lot of work. A whole lot of work to persevere and to see God doing a powerful thing. See, I don't want to be a pastor who pastors a church of average, mediocre believers. I just really don't. I honestly don't even want to be a husband and a father to a family of average and mediocre believers. Really don't. But honestly, even more personal than that, I do not want to be an average, mediocre believer. I do not want that in my life, so may the prayer be, Lord, help me to fight the good fight and to listen for your voice that doesn't call me to the 10-yard line, but it calls me to give my very best in any moment, which might mean 100 yards from here. That's my prayer for my life. So do you think it's impossible? Do you think it's impossible to live a Christian life that's free from inconsistencies? Or do you think that it's too difficult to follow the way of Jesus in your environment, in your school, or at your workplace and in your home? Are you convinced that Jesus is really nice to know and to believe in, but maybe not worth reshaping your life around, or your habits around, or your purpose around, or even how you address and consider those who stand against you? I'm not sure where you're at in this equation today. Thomas Edison, who we spoke about earlier, said, our greatest weakness lies in giving up. The most certain way to succeed is always to try just one more time. And I think while that's really powerful, it puts a lot of pressure on us. Paul said the same thing, but slightly different in Philippians 4 when he said, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Our power, our authority is not in these muscles, in this frame. It is not there. Our power and our authority is on the Spirit of God who challenges us and calls us to persevere every day. I want to ask you a couple of questions as I bring this to a close. What inconsistencies exist in your life? What inconsistencies of the truth of the gospel that you are aware of, that you do not live by, what inconsistencies exist in your life? Be honest with yourself just for a moment. And then ask yourself, how tangibly can you refuse to be average and live a life that is instead exemplary toward the kingdom of God? What inconsistencies exist, and how can you refuse to be average and live a life that is exemplary toward the kingdom of God? Maybe today you came in here and you were just on the verge of wanting to quit. Maybe you were convinced before you got here that faith in Christ is too difficult to get started with. Maybe today you need to come and pray and ask God to give you the power to overcome the challenges and the struggles in your life and the ability to persevere with what you may be facing. See, I believe God only can give you the strength and the power to do such things. And I believe He is willing and ready to empower you to do it. Because His Scripture repeatedly calls us to be people who persevere, and He will not leave you. He will not leave you. He's here for you. He is here. I'm going to pray. The band is going to come while I do, and we're going to sing a song of kind of commitment to this and also give you an opportunity to respond to the call of perseverance in your own life. Would you pray with me? Just close your eyes, bow your head. Father, today in this moment, as we have sung songs, as we have prayed to You, as we have trusted You with our mission team, as we have trusted You, God, with the various things going on in our life, at this moment we stand here and say to You, help us. Many of us see the challenges that lay before us. I can't see their challenges, but I know my own, God, and I ask that You would help me to be a pastor and a husband and a father and a son who is willing to persevere through all the struggles of my life. And as I pray that for me, on this day I pray it for my friends who have gathered in this place. I pray it for the youngest child who is sitting in this room. I pray it to the one who has been walking with You the longest. May we this day resolve ourselves to be people who are not giving in to the chill of our current spiritual environment, but who dare to not be average, who dare to be exemplary, who dare to eliminate the inconsistencies in our life, who dare to live a life for You that perseveres through being made fun of, that perseveres through the mistakes that we'll make, that perseveres through the struggles that we will find along the way. Help us to persevere through the heartache of broken relationships. Help us to persevere through the struggles of being disappointed and crushed. Help us to persevere, God, through the challenges that come in all shapes and sizes. And help us to be focused on holding firmly on to You, giving our very best, and listening for Your still voice in our head saying, never give up. Do not quit. Give Your very best. Do not give in to this temptation. You will not stop here. Continue to fight. One more step, one more step, one more step. God, speak into our hearts this day. That's all I can ask, and that's all I can bring. Help us to respond to You now. Help us to say yes to You now. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Additional downloads and resources are available by visiting flushingcommunity.org. Join us this Sunday as we gather to experience God's transforming love together.